Hey there, my name is Thomas J. Brown, and you're listening to the very first Allopod, the official podcast for lifelessordinary.com, my personal website. With me today is my friend Emily Kratzer. Hey, Emily.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Excellent. Well, we've got some exciting things going on today. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should talk about the planned format a little bit.
All right.
Basically, I don't know, I just thought I like to talk about things, and I'm a rather opinionated person.
And, as am I.
Yeah. Which makes really good. Not type A personalities, I wouldn't say, necessarily.
No, but I'm definitely not type A.
Which is why we're doing podcasts and not standing out on a soapbox somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
But, I've got, everyone has their own opinions about everything, and I have a website and a podcast now, and that's the whole point of podcasting, isn't it? To voice your opinion. So, we're here to do that. We're here to voice our opinions. So, what we'll do probably is we'll find some little articles, things we find interesting, things we want to comment on, and things maybe that we think other people may have missed and really should know about.
Yeah.
Try to bring those to people's attention and go from there, have a little discussion, try to do interviews. I'm going to try to do an interview every month. There's going to be a big monthly podcast, and this is it. This is what you're listening to. And I want to do an interview every month. That's my goal. It may not happen. We'll see. But right now we're on schedule because there's going to be an interview later in today's show.
Yeah.
It's a band out of Seattle called Vote for Pedro. They're a fairly new band. And we have some music from them. And,
yeah, some interesting music.
It's pretty cool music. It's very eclectic. And unfortunately, what we have doesn't really represent their scope. You really have to hear the rest of what they play to really appreciate it. And live, they're great. But we'll get into all of that later when we actually talk about them and go to the interview that I recorded when I was in Seattle a little while back. But what else? What did you have to talk about today, Emily?
I didn't really have a whole lot because I have been working an ass load and just seriously haven't had a whole lot of downtime to do anything other than that. I did, however, pick up at work because I read through the weekly world news since I work at a grocery store and I'm in the check stand all the time.
I used to get those all the time. They're my favorite.
Yeah, they're, you know, great articles, but they're not trying anymore.
No?
You know, it's really pissing me off. They don't try with the pictures anymore. They just slap something on there, call it whatever.
That's a shame. They used to be pretty good. They were convincing when I was like 8.
Exactly. Now they're totally fake. And child could tell.
You know, one time my favorite thing I think I ever saw on Weekly World News, in terms of obviously photoshopped pictures, were back-to-back pages where the same actor was used on one page and then the next, and it was like you just flipped the page and it was the same face, everything. He was just done up slightly differently.
Yeah. So my big thing was what got me set off, and they're not trying anymore, is they had an article about a race of snowmen found in the Arctic by scientists. And I was like, oh, that would be an awesome picture. No, it's a plastic brown snowman on a sled in a studio, and obviously a studio.
They were like the gold standard for fake images.
Yeah, no, now they're...
That's a shame. How's Batboy doing? Has he been around?
Batboy is joining, apparently, the cast of Deadwood.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that should make the show a good twist for the show.
Wouldn't it? And now we get to finally hear Batboy speak.
You know, I have wanted to hear that for years.
I wanted to see him in action.
What if he doesn't speak, though? He just, because looking at the pictures, he looks like he just sort of, you know, something like makes some sort of horrible screeching noise.
Probably.
Didn't want to screech too loud.
Yeah. You know, and Sasquatch apparently had jury duty recently.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did he show up?
Yeah, he showed up. He was there and apprehended something about the plaintiff or the defendant. The defendant was running away or something, and he tackled him down and got him and saved the day. So Sasquatch either is a registered voter or has a driver's license, because that's the only thing they get the jury pools out of. So I'm quite amazed at that.
You know, it's going back to real news. I recently heard, I don't know if this is true, that the guy who took that original footage died, and his family said that one of his dying wishes was to tell the world that it was all fake.
Oh.
And this is what I heard. I don't know if this is true, and I really should look into this because I'm interested to know. Perhaps I'll do some research and put it in the show notes, which you can find at lifelessordinary.com. Little self-plugging there. Can't have too much. Well, you can have too much of that.
Well, I don't have my own website to plug because I'm quite technologically inept.
We can get you one. Or you can just, I'll just loan you some space on my
camera. There you go.
This is your space you're getting. You get to talk on my podcast.
Friends moved to Seattle.
Yeah, exactly.
Where did they all go? Well, of course, we live in Spokane, Washington, and there's not much you can say about Spokane.
It's Spokane, second largest city in Washington State.
Not anymore. Not since the Valley disincorporated. This is how pathetic Spokane is.
I didn't realize that.
The city didn't want to be part of the city anymore, so they disincorporated and became their own city, and now they want back in, apparently.
Yeah, so I read that in the news.
I think that's very funny. Okay, well, I've got a few things, too, okay, to talk about. So we can probably gripe about the Weekly Real News for a while.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
There's, I think I have some in a box somewhere. We should pull some old ones out sometime.
I have sometime. I have the new one.
You should grab it in a minute.
Yeah.
Maybe your husband will bring it over.
My assistant?
Yeah, your assistant.
My personal assistant.
Personal assistant.
Mr. Michael Kratzer. No relation.
All right, so we've got that for a little later. We have the Vote for Pedro interview, like I said. I have a great thing that I'm calling the Technology Haiku. It's an Allopod original, in quotes, because probably somebody else has already done this. But I don't know. I've never heard it in a podcast before. So a lot of podcasts. I haven't listened to them all. This is a guy, Andrew Burton. He's a friend of mine that I met through another friend of ours.
Oh.
He lives over in Seattle, and he's agreed to do a technology haiku every month, and so we'll have that for you later. It's pretty funny. Wanted to talk about Sideways, the movie Sideways.
Yes.
Because I've heard it's one of those movies, like a lot of movies that have been coming out lately, where you either love it or you hate it. And I thought it was a pretty good movie, actually.
And I really didn't care for it.
See, it's good. See, already we have difference of opinion. This is going to make an interesting show. But I've heard a lot of people, and I can understand people who don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the story is a little... There are problems there,
yeah.
I will admit. But the reasons that I've heard people not saying that they don't like it are asinine. And that's what I want to talk about. People aren't liking it for the right reasons. And then one more thing I wanted to do is Good Week for Bad Week for from a British magazine called The Week. They have this little thing in there called Good Week for Bad Week for, and they're usually pretty funny. So mention one of those. Should we do that one right now?
Sure.
They're kind of fun.
All right. Let's do that one now.
Let's navigate to The Week magazine's website here. I'll have a link to that in the show notes. Apparently, this week, this being the... What week is it? I don't even... It's the 11th of July, 2005.
The end of the week is the 16th.
I don't see...
That's how they do it at work, is the week of the 16th. I don't know.
I see. I always work a week ahead because the work that I do at work is for next week. So I'm actually on the... What would that be? The 18th? Whatever. Anyway, so this week... it's apparently a good week for long relief after Seattle Mariners pitcher Matt Thornton had to climb a fence and stand in line for a public restroom during a game because the San Diego Padres' new stadium has no toilet in the visitors' bullpen. Quoted Thornton, "I met a guy named Stan who invented a baseball cap with a handle so you can take it off to catch foul balls." Bad week for white cars, which, according to a Bristol University study, birds favor as their target for mid-air droppings. Experts said birds may prefer to, quote-unquote, bomb white cars because they associate the color with predators.
Oh, so they like to poop on their predators?
Well, wouldn't you if you could fly over them?
That's true, yeah. Yeah,
I heard vultures will vomit if
as
a defensive maneuver.
Yeah, it was wretched, disgusting, horrific smell.
I bet.
Yeah, I've never personally experienced, but I've heard that it's just horrible.
Well, I mean, they eat dead things all day. You can only expect so much in terms of smell from dead stuff.
Mixed with stomach acid.
Yeah, really. So now, what else? What were we? How about we'll do the technology haiku? Because let's save that.
No, we'll save that to the end.
Let's talk about Weekly World News some more.
Weekly World News? All right.
Well, we won't save it to the end. We'll save it for later.
Yeah.
What do we have on the cover here? What Weekly World News is? By the way, I want to mention that we're not in any way associated to most of the stuff that we talk about. And really, these are just us voicing our own opinions. And, I'm a big proponent of honesty and truth in everything and whatnot. And so... if I were getting any sort of payola from these companies, I would tell you about it. And if I ever do, I will be sure to let you know.
Oh, yeah. I would totally tell people because I'd be so excited.
Well,
I'm getting money from people to talk to bitch about it, so.
Plus, I try to work it out in the contract that the more I mention them, the more money I make.
Yeah.
So,
Like Conan, when he mentions, cereal, he gets a whole bunch of free cereal.
See, that'd be
great. So he's always mentioning Lexus, or Jaguar.
Yeah, there you go.
Just hoping one day a Jaguar will turn up.
I'll have to go Mini Cooper, Bugatti, things like that.
Yeah, Mini Cooper.
Peugeot. Foreign cars. TVR, that's what I want. I want a TVR Tuscan. Excellent car. Great for your value. Right-hand drive. Not street legal in the United States.
Aw,
yeah,
sad.
It is sad. In the movie Swordfish, that's what John Travolta's character drives. It's a TVR.
Oh.
I'm not sure what model it is, but the reason they chose it is because nobody here knows what it is. And so they wanted this like cool, neat European car that people wouldn't have any idea what it was. And they said they actually had to modify it, specially modify it, to make it street legal because they aren't.
Huh.
Which is odd because they have much better, you know, fuel ratings than we do.
Yeah, so what would make it not street legal? No, something about their speed or something?
Probably the TVRs haul balls, man. Wow. Those things are super fast.
Yeah, they don't want that on American streets. Probably. We got enough problems anyway.
Yeah, really. Americans can't handle that kind of power.
Yeah. So my favorite story on the cover is the saddest novel in the world causes you to commit suicide if you finish it.
Really?
Yeah.
What novel is this?
Black Darkness Smothers the Night.
It sounds depressing.
Doesn't it?
Who wrote it?
Mindy Noir.
Mindy Noir.
Isn't that perfect?
It is perfect.
I gotta like see if this is an actual book, because if it is, I gotta read it. But
let me jump onto Amazon while you wax poetic about Mindy Noir.
So apparently this I don't really know what it's about. It's just supposed to be so depressing that many people have committed suicide after finishing it. Oh, and according to the article, it says that the publisher set up a phone line that simply explains the chapters for those who are unable to read beyond a certain point.
So you can still find out the ending.
Yeah, you can find out the end without having to finish reading it, so you don't have to kill yourself.
I want to apologize to listeners in advance if you hear me typing, because this is our first one. We don't really have things set up quite right. It is one of the things, and in fact, sometime in the future, I'd like to do a podcast about how to do good podcasts. Not that I'm necessarily a prime example, but working in the film and TV and audio type of industries, I do feel that I'm better qualified than Joe Schmo to have a few pointers, and there are some things that I've found that would really improve the quality. One of them being, don't type where you'd speak, and unfortunately, I'm not quite set up yet properly, so I do apologize.
A little plastic picnic table.
I'm sure if I hadn't pointed out, nobody would have known.
Yeah. No, I'm sure there's somebody out there, maybe a friend of ours, sitting there. I can hear you typing.
Yeah, it's probably friends of ours who are criticizing.
Yeah.
It'll be Phoenix in Japan.
Yeah.
Hello Phoenix to Phoenix, who I know is going to be listening to this. We're going to try and get Phoenix on the show sometime. This will probably be his.
I haven't talked to him in like a year.
Yeah.
He's trying to help me buy a computer, and then he left.
That's Phoenix for you. No, that's not Phoenix at all. So I've looked up on Amazon. I searched for Mindy Noir, and there were no results in Amazon.
Oh. Yeah.
So, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Yeah, because Amazon is connected to major publishing houses.
Right. So if you were an independent, you wouldn't necessarily. Let's do a quick Google search.
Self-published, which I really advise against. I'll save that for another show, but self-publishing, not a good idea.
Yeah, okay. Again, Google finds no Mindy Noir.
Aww. So.
Weekly World News strikes out again.
Well, you know, the fun thing about the magazine is you're supposed to try and look. There are real stories in it that actually happen. Yeah. And it's fun to decide which. In fact, they have a contest.
Do they?
Guess the fake story. I have to tell you.
What's the prize, though? Because it seems like you could just use Google to find that, or, you know, look all over the internet.
Yeah, I don't know what the prize. I can't remember. Let's see if I can find it. Yeah, you can hear me turning the pages. I don't care.
Whatever.
You'll find out soon. I don't really
No,
care.
No, but see, that's proof that you actually have the Weekly World News.
And
right
I'm not
now.
Just making this crap up. Although, wouldn't that be great to make it up stuff that's
It wouldn't be hard. Yeah, I have my own copy here, and I see aliens are in the White House. Oh, no, they've done that article.
Yeah. Oh, my favorite one about the White House is the prostitute Sasquatch soliciting Bill Clinton. And they had a wonderful picture. Yeah.
Wow.
That's, I know.
I'd hate to see that picture, actually.
It was a great picture.
What's the Page 5 girl look like this week?
Page 5 girl.
Page 3. I know, Page 5 is weekly. What's Page 3? That's like some British.
I know, Page 7 is something in the New York Times.
Oh, is that Bat
like
Boy?
That. Yeah, that's Bat Boy on
He's
Deadwood.
Changed.
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know. flip through. Shuffle
okay.
Pages,
well,
shuffle.
While Emily looks through the pages to find the results for the contest, I think we'll go ahead and play the technology haiku. So, without any further ado, here's Andrew Burton reading. What's it called? I don't even remember what it's called.
Yeah, I don't remember. He says it.
He says it. All right. Here's Andrew Burton with his technology haiku.
Try harder. Persistent. Futile. A fly against the window. Spam in my inbox.
Don't we love Andrew?
Yeah.
Come on, Emily, you're still looking?
I'm seriously like an
loser. Make Mike look for it, and then we'll talk
Mike
about
look
it.
For it.
Let's talk about Sideways now.
All right, Sideways.
All right, as I mentioned before, not everybody likes the movie. Emily is one of them.
Yeah.
I liked the movie okay. In fact, I bought it sight unseen and sort of crossed my fingers. Although I had it on good faith from Chris Boosted, a friend of mine, that it was good. I hope they don't mind reusing their full names here.
I'm sure they don't. Yeah, Chris is going to sue us.
Yeah.
Chris of all people.
It's not like it's slander.
No.
His name is Chris. He said it was good. I think he liked it. I hate to say anything that's not true. Now I'm all paranoid about slander. but anyway, he told me about it, and I think he said it was good. That's what I remember, anyway.
I think he would like it. It seems like a film he would have liked.
It does, yeah. Well, I know he likes... Because
he liked About Schmidt, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
I loved About Schmidt. That was a good movie. Yeah, that movie's fantastic.
But I know he also likes Giamatti as well.
So. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. He's a big Paul Giamatti fan.
Yeah. Him and his completest views. He's got to see every movie by everyone he ever liked. So. A little inside joke.
Well, that's kind of sad.
It is.
Because he likes Kristen Dunst. Not to say anything bad about her, but she's done a couple movies that, you know, weren't really his taste.
Yeah. Yeah. there are some people who didn't like the movie, but they didn't like it for really stupid reasons. And some of the ones that I heard were, that Thomas Hayden Church, his character wouldn't have gone, like that wouldn't be his idea of a good bachelor party.
Well, that's dumb.
Well, it is. It's dumb because it's the perfect bachelor party for him. That's exactly what he wanted.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to be able to go and sleep with some woman one last time before he gets stuck in this marriage.
Yeah, and he doesn't want to be
around. So he doesn't care where he goes as long as he can get a piece of action while he's there.
Well, that and he and Paul Giamatti were friends from like an early, early age, from what I understand.
College
movie.
Or something.
Yeah, something
I don't
like
know.
That.
I don't remember the
relationship. But it was Paul Giamatti's idea, and it was a surprise.
Right.
He doesn't know anyway where he's going. And he, probably would kind of guess where they're going, but he doesn't know
sure. But he doesn't care either.
He's just going along for the ride.
One of the other things, too, one of the other stupid reasons I heard was that why would he only go with one person? Why would he only invite Paul Giamatti's character, who is so different from him? And, again, it goes back to he's trying to get laid. He doesn't want a whole bunch of people around. He wants one guy who's a total pushover that he knows he can, get to lie for him. And it works. If you look at the end of the film, he gets away with it.
Yeah.
And so it was exactly what he wanted. He gets what he wanted. And
you had mentioned that they had said that the friendship just didn't seem real. There's no way they would be friends. But, Thomas Hayden Church's character, he totally wants a friend like that he feels masculinely superior to.
Right.
He feels more manly around him. He feels smarter, better, prettier, everything.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting, too, if you look at their relationship, because he does try very hard to help out Giamatti and to boost him up and stuff like that. But at the same time, he's not, he's not above just leaving him for the day to go hang out with the other chick. And it's interesting because, he cares, but he doesn't care.
Yeah, he cares enough to want to see him a little happy, but he wants to keep him in that station in their relationship. He needs that person. I really liked that. I thought that was expressed well, written well, and shot well. Like, the way they were framed and stuff was even brilliant, but, that's a really dumb reason not to like a movie.
Why didn't you like the movie?
I didn't like the feeling of it. It was a little too of a man story for me. I just couldn't relate to it as much. Paul Giamatti was way too, his character was just too sad and whiny for me. Honestly, and I don't know, I just couldn't handle it. And I think guys can relate to that a little more, because that's in guys more than women, and we're not that sad and pathetic. I hope. Maybe we are.
Well, you and I aren't exactly models for our sex.
No, we're not. Not at all. And there were some other... Oh, I felt it was a little too pretentious in some points.
Well, and that was one of the arguments that somebody else had come up with, is that they felt like the movie was talking down to you with all the wine talk. And the point that I made is, that's what you do when you drink. I mean, I love wine. I love doing wine tasting. So, all you wine aficionados, please don't attack me for this. But it's true. Like, I know people who they sniff the wine and then they lie about what they smell to sound smart. I mean, and that's not, it seems like what he's doing. And he is trying to, I think it's a little bit more genuine in terms of Giamatti's character, because he's trying to educate,
he's Thomas trying to Hayden
Church.
Culture.
Right, he's trying to give him a little bit more class and send him off with what he thinks is a true gift. you know, for him, for his wedding, but...
See, and I liked the wine tasting part. I really dug that. And the whole, you know, talking action. Because, yeah, I've been around that, so I know that how that, that's really realistic.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the other... I don't know, there's something about Giamatti's character and this relationship he tried to have with what's the actress?
You know, whatever her name is. The blonde chick.
Yeah, I feel bad because Virginia Madsen.
There you go.
Yeah. I know her name. I feel bad DVD. I should tell her
Assistant,
names.
Grab the DVD, please.
I just felt that was a little too pretentious of a story. Maybe not like it was too talking down or anything like that. Just that...
Thanks.
I don't know. It's just something that it's a little too artsy of a way of having a love story that he was still in love with her, but they can't be together because his friend lied or whatever. It's been a while since I've seen the movie.
Yeah, it's been a little while since I've seen it as well. The other thing, too, that really bothered me about it is, and I know so many people have expressed this exact same view, so I don't really want to beat a dead horse with this, but it does bear repeating, and I'll explain why in just a moment, the whole Merlot Pinot Noir thing, and how all of a sudden everybody hates Merlot, and Pinot Noir sales have skyrocketed, and it's just like, oh my god, Merlot isn't bad.
No, you know, like, I enjoy Merlot.
You know, and one of the things I like about Merlot is it's a good sort of blanket wine. It just, whatever you're eating, it goes with it, really. I mean, if you don't really care. Or I think it's a good wine to get started with because it's typically a lot mellower than most, you know, when it's...
Yeah, it's a good one to get your taste buds going, too.
Right, right.
Because I noticed I've had, you know, like Cabernet Sauvignon before I had Merlot, and I didn't really, you know, it's like, it's wine, what do I know?
Right.
And then I've had the Merlot, and then I've kind of tasted the different ones, and now I know I can tell a difference between them as the Merlot with the base.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so the reason I think it's still pertinent is in this month's issue of Cosmopolitan magazine, they have their sort of what's cool and what's passé, and Merlot is totally out, and, you know, Pinot Noir is totally in. And I was like, come on, I thought we'd move past this.
You know what's sad? Before I saw the movie, I loved Pinot Noir. Just this one brand of Pinot Noir. Loved it. Fantastic. And since I've seen the movie, and I'm sort of an elitist, I sort of refused to drink it as much. I went out and I tried other things, and it made me try the Cabernet Sauvignon for the first time. And I love that wine. Fantastic wine. Oh, so good. But now I'm kind of leaning away from the Noir because it was...
Well, and I think part of the problem with that, too, is that now you just look like, you know, you're copying everyone else. It's like that episode of Doug. Remember Doug on...
What
the hell was that on? Nickelodeon,
and then it was on Disney for
a while. Then it sucked after that because they changed all the voices and the characters animation. And everything. Yeah, it was horrible. But when it was still on Nickelodeon, remember that episode of Doug where it was like the sort of Luke Perry equivalent character wears Doug's outfit and then everybody thinks he's copying him and then it moves on to Skeeter at the end? I thought that was fun.
Yeah.
But it's like that, though. I mean, and I've had those instances as well. God, what was the... I was using some phrase and I used it all the time when I was in high school. And then all of a sudden some like movie preview came out that had that phrase in it. And I was like, and I knew it instantly. I knew I was like, oh, nobody's going to remember that. That's my thing.
Yeah.
You know? And it was true. Like two people were like, no, yeah, you did that first. And then,
that happens to me all the time. And my friend thinks I'm insane. Cause I'm like, no, that totally happens to me. I totally started that. And they're like, yeah, whatever.
What I think is funny is when somebody gets really popular for some phrase or some saying or some style or something along those lines, and then come to find out it's like from an old movie or something like that. You know, you see it in some like black and white film, and you're like,
I'm the best
it's not
example
you
of that. Yeah. You know, John F. Kennedy's "Ask not what you can do for your country, but what you're not ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country."
Right.
It was actually like Woodrow Wilson originally said that in a speech, but he was such a banal speaker that no one remembered, and Kennedy got all the credit for it.
You know, speaking of people who don't know how to speak, I'm a bit of a NASCAR fan, and you know, at the beginning of every race, they have some person come out and say, gentlemen, start your engines. And recently, well, I say recently, it's probably a few months ago, Matthew McConaughey did it, and it was the single best gentleman start your engines I have ever seen. And you know why? Because he knows how to speak. He knows how to deliver a line. And it had emotion, and it had, he had like good timing and things like that, and it was... I mean, it was perfect, I thought.
And
he
couldn't beat that Southern voice.
Well, no.
His accent for NASCAR
is perfect. It was perfect. Well, I think maybe now we'll talk about Vote for Pedro a little bit. We've done some chatting on sideways. So see how we get off track from sideways to NASCAR.
You don't expect it to, like, stay anywhere
Although,
near.
Wait, hold on. There's a tie-in between sideways and NASCAR because I just saw a thing on some station the other day about how NASCAR is trying to class up, and instead of drinking beer, they're trying to get their fans to drink wine. So there we go.
There we go.
It
got
all
connection.
Comes back around. Recently, and by recently I mean like almost a month ago, it was June 25th, of 2005. Like 2 weeks. That's a few weeks ago. At this moment. Who knows? When people listen to this,
yeah,
could be
like 6
years from
now.
Yeah. Hopefully I'm still around then. I met with this band. This band is called Vote for Pedro. They're fairly new, Seattle-based band. The members are Nabil Kazel-Hayes, Martin Leguizamon, Jeff Tillinghast, and Brian Sniffen. Unfortunately, Brian was not able to join us for the interview, but the other three were there. And we were in a noisy little chai house, and you'll definitely hear there's a lot of background noise.
Yeah, I wondered where you were.
Yeah, it was a chai house called Mr. Spots.
Ooh.
It's in Bellevue, I want to say. I don't know. I'll put a link to their website in the show notes so that you can find them. It's actually pretty good, although I must warn you, if you're not an experienced chai drinker, I wouldn't suggest going there because their chai is very spicy, very peppery.
Ooh,
which was a little odd.
Like.
I liked it, actually, all right. But the other three people I was with didn't really care for it.
Yeah, and they liked the more vanilla.
Yeah, exactly. Good use of the parlance of our times there.
Yeah.
That reminds me of something we should talk about. Oh, save it for next time. Okay.
Let's
anyway, here's the interview. As I said, it's a little bit noisy in the background, and in fact, I make light of that toward the end of the interview. And you'll hear there are a few times when just it really goes crazy in the background. But we did our best, and actually for my very first interview and for the equipment that we had with us and how quickly we threw it all together, I think it came out pretty well. I'm here in a chai house in Seattle with the band Vote for Pedro, and so let's meet them right now.
My name is Nabil Kazel-Hayes, and I'm from the Seattle area. Just graduated from the University of Washington with my degree in civil engineering, and we've been playing in this band for getting towards a year now. And I've played guitar for about 10 years. Started playing guitar last year of high school. Got inspired by my dad and both my dad and my older brother. I played in a band right out of high school for a couple years called Mood Ring. And then when they split up, joined up with another band called Run for Cover. Played with them in the Seattle area for about 3 or 4 years.
This is Martin Leguizamon. I'm from Argentina, and I moved to Canada like 4.5 years ago, and then I moved to Seattle. And I met Nabil like a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. And we started playing together for fun, and now we're the band Vote for Pedro. By the way, I play guitar on the band, and I sing some song in Spanish.
And my name's Jeff Tillinghast. I'm pretty new to the Seattle area. Moved in from Alaska, where I'm originally from, just a few months ago, and hit the ground running as soon as I moved into the area, met up with these guys, and started the project. So,
okay, well, you've pretty much answered all of my questions, so no, just kidding. They're very detailed backgrounds. It seems like it's really interesting. You guys are all really diverse. You come from a lot of different places. So, as you mentioned, the name of the band is Vote for Pedro, so I have to ask, did it come directly from the film Napoleon Dynamite?
Absolutely.
And so how did you choose that name?
It's an awesome movie.
Going for the sort of Save Ferris thing there.
Exactly.
Yeah, we figure it worked for them. I don't know. I hadn't seen the movie yet, and I just showed up to practice one day, and they said, you know, we have a name. And
well, you're the new guy. You don't get a choice.
Yeah, exactly. I figure, you know, I'm still the rookie. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. So that night, I figured I should at least go, you know, rent the movie and watch it.
That's right. You hadn't seen it yet.
I hadn't seen it, and I didn't even really like it that much.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
yeah,
so it's one of those films, I think.
It sure is. Yeah.
The name is stuck, so it's catchy. We got instant marketing. It's always good to drive down the road and see billboards with Vote for Pedro on them.
So then are you going, is the demographic for your band the type of audience that would watch that film, or would you? Do you think you're wider than that?
Wider than that, definitely.
Acoustic rock is big in that. Now, I say acoustic rock. I've actually heard your music described in a number of different ways. How would you guys describe your music?
You know, acoustic rock's a pretty broad genre. You know, I'd say we do jam band pop.
Yeah, technically we're not no longer. We started out acoustic pop and or acoustic rock, and the reason we had acoustic rock is because Martine and I were both playing acoustic guitars when we started. But since then, we've started to play venues that are more supportive of a full drum kit instead of a djembe, which is mostly what we started on, was having a djembe player with us. I've dusted off my Stratocaster, and so now I'm playing more electric guitar, as I will be tonight. And so it's kind of evolved, kind of beyond acoustic rock.
So it's pretty eclectic then.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. I mean, we all come from pretty different musical backgrounds, too. I mean, you know, with Martin coming in with a lot of influences from his native Argentina, and Nabil coming from a little bit more kind of blues rock based. I went to school for jazz, studies in jazz theory, and come from that kind of background. So we all have a lot of different side interests that we kind of pull together. That, you know, yeah, like I said, pretty eclectic mix.
So how long have you guys been together as Vote for Pedro?
Gosh.
I guess we've been for 4 or 5 months now.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, officially.
I'm not sure, because when we start playing, like,
Seattle in Vote December. So it would be since December.
Since December. Okay. So yeah. It would be more than 5 months.
So December 2004 is like the big month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The mark it on your calendar. We'll be eligible for the Rock Hall of Fame then in December of 2029.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, that's perfect.
So it sounds like, Nabil and Martin, that you guys are, if you'll excuse the pun, instrumental in getting the band started.
Yeah. We started jamming together.
Yes.
Gosh, like a couple, 2-3 times a week. Once we found out that, not that we had similar musical influences, because Martin has a lot of influences from Argentina and people that I hadn't heard of, but that we actually influenced each other and that our guitar playing styles were very similar. He enjoyed Argentinian rock bands that were similar in their guitar style to some of the bands and guitarists that I liked as well. So we flowed it. It meshed really well.
And then at what point did you decide to bring in a third person? And why?
Well, you know what happened is I met Jeff at a wedding of a mutual friend of ours. It was a classmate of mine and an old... You've known Kyle for a long time, right?
Yeah, a few years. I was just I was in town. I flew down from Alaska, and I was just hanging out for the wedding.
So. Yeah, so for my friend Kyle's wedding, and Kyle knew that Jeff played bass, and Kyle knew that I played guitar, and they actually ended up needing some extra music for their wedding. So it was, I think, maybe a day or two before their wedding. My friend Kyle said, you know, Nabil, you play guitar. This other friend of mine, Jeff, plays bass. And he listed off a couple other people who played other instruments, and he said, you know, we're actually having a gap where we need some extra music. Do you guys want to just meet each other and maybe jam? I know you're all good enough to probably do that. I said, yeah, great.
So, we got up on the bandstand. The wedding band had already had all their stuff set up, so we just, you know, used their mics and their amps and everything, and pretty much walked up on the stand, looked at each other, and said, all right, these are the songs I know. Which ones do you know? And, you know, took it from there.
And then the wedding band came back and killed you for screwing up all the tuning on their instruments.
Right. Actually, it was funny. We I think, started to run out of songs that we actually knew, and so we just kind of did a little vamp on Herbie Hancock's Chameleon. And, you know, Nabil was doing a little blues thing on the back. And then all of a sudden, there's this trumpet solo coming from behind us. And we kind of turn around like,
that's right.
We
that's
don't
right.
have a trumpet player. And one of the guys from the wedding band, they had started kind of coming in. So then, you know, the trumpet player sits in, and then the drummer sat in, you know. By the end of it, we had about a 9-piece, you know, jam session going on.
That's
there.
Pretty cool. That must have been a hell of a wedding, boy.
Yep.
So that's how you guys met. How did how'd you guys meet over here?
How did we meet? At a kind of like a house party thing.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, through actually it was through a mutual friend.
Yeah, it was.
Because Jesus, who you were living with, was a friend of mine. And when you became his roommate, I was over at Jesus' house, and then I met you, and we realized that we played guitar.
Yeah, and I knew you, and I saw you playing guitar, and then we started playing together after that.
Yep, and you knew my brother as well.
I knew your brother,
but we didn't actually know that at the time.
Exactly.
It came out later, ironically.
Yeah.
Wait. Martin knew your brother, but you guys didn't know.
No.
No, but we didn't know each other, and we didn't figure that out until a few weeks after we met each other.
That
I was Justin's brother. And Martin's, well, I know Justin. He's been down to South America because my brother has traveled to South America before. And anyhow, it's
wow,
small
that's
world.
That's quite
small
a
world.
Connection.
Yeah, it is.
Boy.
Is. Yeah.
So now, I know, Nabil, you mentioned playing in other bands. How about, you know, the other guys? Have you played in other bands prior to this? Or?
Yeah, when I was going to school in Walla Walla, I played with the Walla Walla Rhythm Train, which is a blues band, and then also fronted a 3-piece group, kind of similar to Vote for Pedro, called Everybody Loves Parfait. It was originally called the Bill Lumberg 7, and then before that, I don't know, we had some other name. We changed names about once a week. Never really went anywhere with that
Yeah, group. Bands that change their names tend not to.
Hard to keep track of.
Exactly.
So, is one of you, like, the songwriter, or do you all pitch in on songs? I imagine with the eclectic mix, you all pitch in, but, you know.
We do.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, that's correct. We all have, with Jeff having these bands that he was in prior, he has songs that he'd written and performed with his bands. And likewise with me, with bands that I've played, I have some of my own songs that I've already worked up. And so I bring them to the board, and we work them up, and we've all done that. Martin has some of his own originals as well.
So, is do...
if one of you like writes music, do you all come up with the lyrics, or is it just sort of like each person has their own thing? I mean, do you have you written songs like as a group and sat down and tried to be like, hey, this is our Vote for Pedro songs, instead of just this is what I'm bringing to the group?
Not yet.
Not yet. No, we haven't done it so far. It's been somebody's got something that they've worked up, and it's either the music and they don't have the lyrics yet and they're going to go work on the lyrics,
right,
or it's a completed song like with Jeff or I with something that we've already done. You know, exactly. Hey, I worked this up in my band. This is kind of how we did it. You guys want to try something similar? But even with those, I think that, at least for me, I don't know, speaking for you, Jeff, but we're playing the songs that I've played before are a little bit different than I played them with other bands as well. Kind of a new Vote for Pedro twist, just because of the variety and in our tastes and our backgrounds.
Yeah, and that's something that has been really cool to see as we kind of bring in these songs. Like, well, yeah, this is the way it sounded before, but now, you know, with a lot of these things, it sounds totally different than you know how we've done them in the past. Just because we have a lot of variety and a lot of versatility in that, you know, basically all three of us have fronted our own groups in the past, and all three of us can kind of, you know, take different directions and things. So we end up with mixing things up a lot more than a lot of other groups normally have the flexibility to do.
Yeah, that's what I like most from both of Pedro, because we have different styles, but at the end we just ended up with one same, you know, staff songs that we bring together to our shows, and I think it's a good thing to have it in a van.
And it's cool. See, I think we're actually kind of getting to the point now where, even though, you know, in the case of what Nabil and I have, we're bringing in songs that were written, you know, years ago, but we're getting to the point where almost in our interpretations of those, that's where we're starting to get the Vote for Pedro sound. You know, what is that sound that kind of defines us? So the common thread is appearing.
So you say not yet that you don't have any songs. It makes it sound like you have plans, and you're saying, you know, you're finding your sound as a band. So once you've got that, you think you're going to move ahead with new stuff?
Absolutely. That's something that we'd all want to be doing, yeah. Time-wise, the band is actually going to start forming pretty quickly, probably, because I've graduated. My schedule is pretty sporadic when I was still in school. But now I've got, you know, regular 8 to 4:30 job here, so we'll be practicing at least once a week, and we're going to start spitting out brand new songs, Vote for Pedro songs that aren't from Jeff, or, you know, that are from all three of us, yeah.
Which actually is a good transition to my next question is, when you're not performing or rehearsing, do you guys hang out together or just sort of do your own thing?
Yes, we do. Sometimes we go to see the Mariners.
Martin had never been to a baseball game, so we decided to take him down to
Mariners.
We also taught him how to swing a bat. You know, we've been working on a wiffle ball. And he's got a wicked inside-out swing. You know, he's got to be a little singles machine. We got Ichiro Mark II over here.
That was fun.
So yeah, we do hang out outside of the band stuff.
So what plans do you have in the future, or what are you currently doing to distribute your music and get the name Vote for Pedro out there?
Well, we just finished our webpage that has been up now for a total of 6 hours. We got plans. Next week we're going to start doing some recording stuff, sounds like, which is going to be good. We got five or six songs that we're ready, five or six originals that we're ready to kind of, you know, get down on CD and start getting the recordings out there. We're getting a pretty good little word of mouth movement that's starting to come out of our shows. You know, we got a couple of regularly scheduled gigs and a little momentum starting to kind of pick up on our side. So it's going to be great to get that demo CD out here in the next couple of weeks and have that product.
Yep.
So what do each of you consider to be your goals as a musician?
Goals as a musician. You know, I ideally what I would want this to be, or you know, my music for me to be, is kind of, I mean, what we've got going now I think is great, and I honestly, you know, I probably don't want to end up touring out of the country or doing something like that, because my day job I love, and I want to have this as maybe every weekend, every two or three weekends, playing a show with friends of mine, having friends of mine coming out to see, and then having the music available for other people to listen to, either for free or at a really low cost. I don't want money out of this. It's just fun, and it has to be about the music.
So you have very relaxed and groovy sort of
absolutely
aspirations.
Yes, yes I do.
For me, it's like what I just wanted to do is play in front of a lot of people. That's all I want to do. Even if I don't make money out of this, I just want to play in front of, you know, like in a big stage. and do that. That's my dream. That's my goal. And I hope we can do that sometime, playing on, you know, 3,000, 5,000 people. It's good enough for me.
Spread the love.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well said.
Yeah.
All right, I'll be a little more greedy capitalist about it. I want to be a rock star, make a few million bucks, never have to work a day job for the rest of my life. Let's see, live fast, die young? Yeah,
there
exactly.
We go. Right.
How about live fast, live long?
Oh, that's even better aspiration.
Die really, really old.
Don't die.
Don't die, exactly. Have enough Perfect. Money that I actually buy off death. That would work for me.
I mean, that's kind of pricey these days.
It can be done. I mean, look, Keith Richards, you know, get your blood transfused every 6 months. I could do some of that. I went to school, got a music degree. My academic training has always been in music. And in a lot of ways, it would be great to have something that you could turn a career out of this. You know, even if, it ends up being playing in a studio somewhere, I would love to, kind of keep working on songwriting enough that, I can get my songs out there. And like Nabil said, really get it out there for people to see, but also, be doing enough that it could be a career, it could be a job for a few years at least.
That's true.
Well, let's get a little bit more political here and touch on some contemporary issues regarding with music. What are your reaction to things like piracy and digital rights management?
I think that this is a really interesting time to see where the music industry is going to go. I mean, we kind of lose track of the fact that when recording started way back, in the early days when people were really starting to record commercially and kind of rock was just getting started, the idea was you sold an album to support the concert. The concert was the big thing. Now we always talk about, going in tour in support of the album. It's like, when did the record become more important? It's kind of, maybe if you're going to trace it back to a spot in history, you go back to the end of 66 when the Beatles decide all of a sudden, boom, we're not touring anymore. We're just making albums. And everybody kind of says, well, geez, what the heck's that going to be about? But now maybe we're starting to get to the point again where with free music distribution or with an easy distribution system over the internet, maybe things are going to shift back to the music or the recorded music being in support of the concert itself, which is something I know for all of us, we talk about how exciting it is to go see a really good live show. So you get a really good album, that's one thing, but man, you see a great concert, that's where it really comes alive. So I think in a lot of ways, artists are kind of, they're looking at it the wrong way. They're missing out on a great opportunity to use it as a tool to support what they're trying to do, which is make the music.
Yeah, I know some artists have actually gone ahead and digitized the music themselves and put them on the peer-to-peer networks to try and get their voice heard.
Yeah, Green Day got in trouble a few years ago when they went, out in public and said, forget the music label, forget the recording industry, pirate our songs. And, recording industry didn't like them too much after that. But
so what do you think about, digital rights management and, big music as an umbrella term for all of the recording companies trying to put this restrictive software and code and stuff? And what are your views on that? I mean, do you think DRM is going to stick around? Do you think
I don't think there's a reasonable way to do it. I think they're always going to be trying to play catch-up. And, how long can you be trying to catch up with something before you just kind of start tripping over your own feet?
What about the FBI? I know lately I've seen a few CDs where they put a big ugly label on it. Well, you know about this. And it is. It's a big ugly label that I think really mars. Cover art is its own whole thing. Yeah, and I think that really, that's a horrible thing in my opinion to put on there. And it's on the disc, too.
I agree.
I saw somebody, I don't know who it is, some band, they actually put put one on that looked similar, but it said something like, copy our music, we like it. So, I thought that was a nice little a nice little way to shove it in their face.
Yep. I think that we would support that. We would be supportive of sharing.
Yeah.
Share the love.
Do you think the government needs to just step back and calm down?
Well, I mean, it's easy to say, they should step back, but at the same point, they're going off an interpretation of what the law says now. I think more than just relaxing and letting it slide, we kind of need to readdress how we're thinking about it. I mean, we're still thinking about information in a very text-printed, one copy and you buy it out of a store type of way, which is not the way we're doing business anymore.
So do you think the idea of an album will stand the test of time, or do you think the future is just going to be downloading on a track-by-track basis, or purchasing, for that matter, on a track-by-track basis.
I hope that the album stands the test of time, because there's something so cool about that, and I know that many artists record albums, make an album, and all the songs on it are meant to be together. They're meant to be in a certain order. They tell a story. They're all, I mean, that's really important, so hopefully we can keep that.
So what I want to do now, basically, is just, I have these three questions here that I'm going to ask for each of you. You can just give your own answer to them in whatever order you feel fit. The first question is, if you couldn't play music, what would you like to do for the rest of your life?
I can answer that. Just travel. I would like to do that. If I couldn't play music, I'd probably do travel around the world. I don't know.
Well, I might have to steal that answer, actually. I love traveling as well, and I would probably go to as many countries as I could. Hit maybe every country on every side of the world and see what everybody else is doing out there. That,
yep.
And from the capitalist awesome. Point of view.
Well, I was gonna go with travel too, but then I realized that music is a great form of expression. It fills for me a need to get to an idea. Well, what are you trying to say in life? What are you trying to say in the world? And that's something that I'm trying to do in my songwriting, to express the world around me. And that's something that I think I would need to do even if I didn't have music. I'd say ideally I'd like to do some kind of art, but we were joking about this earlier. The reason I was handed a bass for the first time when I learned how to play bass was because I got kicked out of art class for having no talent and being a waste of air in the room. I love photography, doing stuff like that. I don't know. I'd need some kind of other means to describe the world around me, to think about that. And then sell it for millions of dollars.
Right, of course. Yeah. So that you can live fast, die never. So, for each of you, what's your favorite word?
Favorite word? So many great underused words in the English language.
Or, Spanish. We don't want to limit anyone here.
The first one that comes to mind for me is gesticulate. I do enjoy that word, and it is underused. For when it is used, it's rather ambiguous.
For me, would
in
be...
Spanish, too? Do you have a Spanish word?
Well, yeah. Love. Yeah. Amor in Spanish. But love would be, for me, the favorite word. Yeah.
Languid.
Languid?
Languid.
You should define that word. I don't even know what that means.
Well, it's defining a slow, leisurely, or lazy pace. Languid.
Wow. My engineer is also a logophile like myself, and he's got a big smile on his face, and he's nodding. I think he's going to use languid later, and I'm going to have a little chuckle. And then his wife and my fiance will have no idea why we're laughing. In Spanish class, we were learning reflexive verbs one time, and somebody said desenchufarse, which means to unplug oneself. And our teacher told us that you couldn't do that. It wasn't possible. And I beg to differ with the internet. I think you definitely can unplug yourself. But that was always my favorite Spanish word.
Oh, that's great.
So my last question in my three-question thing here is kind of a big one. So take your time. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
I don't know.
That is a good one.
That is a good question. I used to try and find a specific thing, I think, that would be the inspiration. Find something that I was going to write about, something that was going to inspire me. But I realized that I kind of burned out on writing about one thing or about doing one thing. And I really try and find something everywhere, because there are things everywhere. And I know it's kind of a cop-out, but there are things everywhere that can be inspiring creatively and emotionally. There are beautiful things everywhere you look. And I've really been trying to kind of latch onto that as my inspiration for something that maybe is a little bit harder to burn out on the entire world than just focusing on one thing. But that's my gratuitous cop-out. Anyone else want to try an answer?
Yeah, I will. For me, I think it's more emotionally, because all my songs that I wrote before talk about like love or loneliness or something like emotionally, like you can feel that way more than spiritually. So for me, it's like more emotionally.
Do you find that there's a particular emotion that fuels your, you know, that gives you more, you know, inspiration?
Sometimes I think when I feel alone, when I feel like kind of sad, that's when I start writing those songs that I came out with.
You listen to a lot of Radiohead and then try to...
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I'd probably say the outdoors and nature. Some of, a lot of my songs have been written like sitting under a tree on a beach. I get a lot just from visiting mountains, going to beautiful places that are here. That's part of why I like traveling so much. And that's partly why I threw that other question, that if I couldn't do music, traveling would partly fulfill that same craving that I have. And they kind of go hand in hand with me and in the outdoors. So that's definitely what inspires me.
Well, as I'm sure you've heard over the course of the interview, the Chai House is pretty noisy, and actually I think they're doing it on purpose. But I've been sitting here chatting with Vote for Pedro. They're, as I said, Seattle-based band, and very, very cool. I have to thank you guys for sitting down with me, and they're playing a show tonight that you won't hear, but I will.
Thank you for it.
But I'll tell you how it is later.
Awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
And just a reminder, everybody can check out our website at voteforpedrotheband.com.
And I'll also have the link to that in the show notes.
Excellent.
Great.
Thanks.
So you see how noisy that was?
Yeah.
And stuff.
You can hear the
but they're a fun things. They're a fun band.
Yeah.
And I actually have a couple of their songs that I'll play one of them here for you. Let's have they have three on their website, and I think I like Road Ahead the best.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
That
well,
was
maybe
a good
we'll
one.
Let's play Road Ahead and let's decide after Road Ahead.
Okay.
So anyway, here's Road Ahead. This is again from that same performance that they played that night, so it's a live performance, and it's a little shifty because it's a live performance.
Yeah.
They're never quite as good. And in fact, and I do want to point out, the energy is so much greater when you're actually there.
Yeah.
It's a little flat, but I think that's true of any band.
Yeah, very true.
All right,
most
so here's
bands.
Here's Vote for Pedro with their song, Road Ahead.
Secrets
That was Road Ahead by the band Vote for Pedro. I have one more song by them here called In My Heart.
That's actually my favorite of the ones that we listened to today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What did you like best about it?
I like the... It's got a lot of... reminds me of a bunch of different songs. It's got a lot of, to it.
Well, it changes up a whole bunch in there a few times, and so
maybe that's what I'm trying to say.
That's what you're trying to say? Well, there you go. Anyway, another Vote for Pedro original right here on Allopod, In My Heart.
Turn out right. I don't know the answer, my If I go, I go with you in my heart. If I go, I go with you in my heart. In my heart. In my heart. In my heart. In my heart.
In my heart. I can see why you like that one the best.
Yeah.
That is a good song. Well, that I think unfortunately brings us to a close here. We've been chatting and whatnot for quite a while. And
yeah, I can't believe it's been an hour.
It has. It's been an hour already. Wow. Boy, podcasts just fly by. There's so much want to talk about. It's a good thing we're doing. Maybe we'll have to do this more than once a month.
Yeah, we'll probably end up having to do it twice a month at least.
Probably at least. I have so much to say. Although maybe we spread it out. But then new things always come up.
Yeah. So who are you interviewing next month, Thomas?
Well, I'm hoping to interview a girl named Shelby Knox. And if you're not aware of who Shelby Knox is, which I'm sure most people aren't, mm-hmm. I know you weren't when you came over today, she's a self-described good Southern Baptist girl. She comes from Lubbock, Texas, and has pledged abstinence until marriage. And she became an unlikely advocate for comprehensive sex ed when she finds out that Lubbock, where high schools teach abstinence as the only safe sex, has some of the highest rates of teen pregnancy and STDs in the state. And if I do manage to get her for next month, then we'll do, I think we should devote that whole show toward my absolute hate of how the administration, current, you know, presidential administration has said that nothing besides abstinence exists, and how I feel that this whole all or nothing thing doesn't work. Anyway, if you have any questions that you'd like to ask Shelby Knox, I'm going to put up a link to the PBS page that has more information about the show that she was on, and which is actually how I found out about her. And she's agreed to do an interview at some point, so hopefully I can get that set up. And if anybody has any questions, just email me. And that's, again, podcast@alifelessordinary.com.
All right. Should be exciting.
Should be very exciting, indeed. If you have anything you want to comment on or you would like to have us comment on, you can always email us. The email address for the Allopod is podcast@alifelessordinary.com. You can visit the website, alifelessordinary.com, and go to the podcast section to find the show notes, where we link to pretty much everything we've talked about here that has a website.
Yeah. What else? I haven't been to the website in a while. I haven't seen it in a while.
You should. We've just launched, actually, on the 14th of this month. We just launched the new version. The royal we.
Yeah. Royal God we.
The God we. Wow, Emily, way to boost me up. Strokes for Thomas.
Yeah, that's my job.
I think we should. It's getting weird. Your husband and my fiance are giving us looks. Or each other looks, maybe. I can't tell.
Yeah, there was comments made earlier on the way to here about what they should be doing while we're doing this.
Playing with the pussy, right?
Yeah, exactly. That'd
be my cat, who you can also see. All right, it's gotten weird. We should stop now.
Yeah. We'll save that for another one.
Yeah, I'm Thomas J. Brown.
I'm Emily Jean Kratzer.
Thank you for listening to Allopod.